HPPodCraft.com.
Greetings, folks, and welcome to our bonus episode for November.
We're back. It's been nothing but the Colossus as bonus episodes for a few months. And, you know, I've been having whatever the opposite of panic attacks are this month, realizing I don't have to work on it anymore. I keep going, where are the files?
You're having relax attacks?
Yeah. It's kind of like how it's the worst when you have to go to the bathroom, but you have to hold it for a long time.
Yeah.
Horrible feeling, yet almost worth it for the sweet, sweet relief that follows.
Yeah, when you pee your pants.
No, when you get to finally go to the bathroom. Like an adult, Chris. I'm a grown man.
I know. I'm sorry.
Now let's talk about some fairies. This is a more popular topic than I would have imagined. I thought we might have a dud of a month for some reason with this. I don't know why I was thinking that, but folks love it. They love scary fairies.
Yeah, scary fairies are great.
We were trying to figure out what to do in theme for this bonus episode, and we discussed watching a movie. There are not very many evil fae movies out there.
No.
There was a recent horror movie called The Hallow that I heard has some potential.
Yeah. We talked about Song of the Sea, which they're not scary fairies in Song of the Sea, which I loved. It's a Selkie story. The fairies that are like seals that turn into people and back and forth. And it's great. And it's animated. It's an animated film. Really stylized, beautiful, made me cry. Really good film. But again, it didn't feel like a fit for our month.
There are other fairies besides the Selkie in that movie, I think.
Yeah.
That's part of sort of a fairy trilogy because there's the Song of the Kells. Or is that what it's called? There's the Legend of the Kells or something along those lines that same company did before. Mm-hmm. And then I think there's a third one. But again, these aren't evil, menacing fairies.
Yeah, there's a werewolf one is the most recent one.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet, though.
You should have said that. I just really, everything went out of my head and I went, I gotta go find out about this. I forgot we were doing the show for a second. But anyway, those movies are so good, those animated ones, that I'm talking about them, we'd just be sitting here talking about how great it is, so...
Yeah.
Then I thought, well, maybe there's some kind of cool lecture about the whole area, the topic on YouTube.
Yeah.
I don't normally go in there just looking for stuff, so I dive in. I didn't find anything like that right away, but I found a surprising, to me, amount of people recounting their actual encounters with the fairy folk.
Oh.
Of course that's on there. I don't know why I wouldn't think that. I thought, oh, this is, maybe we'll watch a few of these where people are talking about what went down when they met fairies, and that'll be fun to talk about. And it was a good mix of people. Mm-hmm. All ages, countries. The first one I looked at was this Black American woman who I think had a story about meeting the fairy folk in her dreams initially. So you were going to have some dream descriptions up front.
Yeah.
I was ready to listen to those, but she couldn't get her dogs under control. It was like 2 minutes of Titan, sit down. He's in a mood today. I was like, oh, to hell with this. So I shut it off. Go to this dude. This one looked legit because it was an English guy, big white beard, and it was out in some mossy woods.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The title said something about he had actual footage of sprites in the woods. So I turned that on. I'm ready for supernatural experiences. He just starts talking about, well, this morning it was raining and I didn't want to come out and make the video, but then I decided that I had to pick up an infrared camera anyway, and then it cleared up. So it was actually, I mean, it was like 2 minutes of how he didn't want to do it, but then he did. Had to shut it off. Then... third one, this teenage girl, white, she's got all these symbols on her face, kind of a wicked look, had a hood, druidic. Yeah. Not only, she was a medium for fairy folk.
Oh, okay, great.
Fairy lives in her house, according to the description.
Nice.
In the YouTube video. Mm-hmm. Said it was important you know the rules of the fairy folk before you even listen to her stories because it's such a dangerous topic.
Whoa.
Unfortunately, she couldn't get her dogs under control, so I never made it. I am not kidding you.
Another woman who couldn't get her dogs under control.
There's no editorial going on here, dude. I watched three videos. Oh, First one, 2 minutes of dogs. Second one, that guy. Third one, more dogs. And I thought,
this route is
closed off to me. There's so much truth about the secret world on the internet that nobody's getting to because of out-of-control dogs.
It's a shame.
So what's the top level of organization on the internet? Listicles. That's what I thought. There's got to be one of these five fairies that'll make you poop your pants kind of things out there. Quick search, you bet there are. So I found one on Ranker. 15 stories about fairies that prove they're more creepy than cute.
Oh.
Right on topic for us. This list is by Amber Fua. Amber Fua is a wildlife rehabilitation specialist and an award-winning taxidermist. So
credit where credit is due.
So I figured let's read some of these and talk about them and see what they're all about. Now, you know, listicles, the one thing that they do is they always leave off the top two. Like if it's 10 great pizza places, they leave out the two that everybody knows are really great. So that people will jump on the list angrily and say, what about Fat Sal's? You're crazy, you know, and argue. No matter how many we list here, there's a couple of fairies that aren't getting listed that are because they're that horrifying.
I don't know what those are.
Nobody will know. That's the weird tale of this episode.
Oh, wow. I just got twisted. So the first one we've got here, they're babies back from the grave. This excerpt is about Earthbirds, which are fairies that are believed to be the revived spirits of babies who passed during harsh winters. They tend to haunt anyone who hangs around the sites of their demise. Misery is their mission. Yeah. And my first instinct here is that that is not a fairy. That is a ghost.
Utbird.
Utbird. Well, it means that which was taken outside, and it refers to the practice of abandoning unwanted children in the woods, and it's a Scandinavian myth. They're called Mylings in Sweden and Likio in Finnish.
In this listing, it also says Utbirds are even known to transform into large and terrifying owls that prey on night travelers. So it is just a ghost, except this is a ghost with powers of some kind.
Well, I mean, all ghosts have powers. They can go through walls, they can throw objects, they can do, you know, all types of stuff. I mean, turning into an owl, that's a typical power for a ghost. But when we talk fairies, it's an alien thing. It's something that's from somewhere else that, you know, has a different origin. Maybe they're immortal, or maybe they're humans that have been kidnapped and live in the realm of fairies, so they become fae-like. But this is a ghost.
It's kind of like the Asimov story where they used the human brains. This is what I was wondering about when I read this one, because ghosts typically, to use a British expression, they're all about whinging. You know, they come back and they're like, oh, I got murdered. You know, they're upset about something.
Yeah.
Whereas are these spirits upset about something? They're preying on night travelers. They sort of seem to be indiscriminately.
They're upset they got left out in the woods when they were a baby.
Do you think they're saying like, it's cold out here?
Yes.
Your fault.
Also, a thing about it, too, is that they are unbaptized. And so they're unbaptized children, if they die, then they either go to hell or they go to purgatory, or depending on what religious faith that you have.
That's a Judeo-Christian. Well, I guess what I was trying to say is, if the ghost isn't a whinger, is it just like a ghost spirit soul thing that can power a fairy? Are there fairies that need that?
Maybe.
Is that their interaction with the human world?
Maybe.
Like they need a human soul or something to...
But then that would be part of the story. That would be like, oh, it's a fairy. It comes from another place, but it uses the souls of dead babies to power its magic. And that's not what it's saying. In these myths, it is the spirits of these deceased children.
Right now, Amber Fu is listening to this and going, look, it's a listicle, guys. I didn't have time. This was number one. I have to get back to sewing up this bird I stuffed. All right, well, here's another one. They claw you to pieces. Typically illustrated as haggard and old, red caps. This I think I've heard of, are said to be armed with razor-sharp teeth and claws, which they use to eat humans and fairies alike. Mm-hmm. Their name hints at their vicious nature. Red caps mop up their target's blood with their cap after they commit a slaying.
Yeah.
You don't care about getting arrested when you're doing something like that.
No, they're beyond prison, and they're fairies. They got superpowers and stuff. They can slip away. They're also known as Red Combs and Bloody Cap. They're predominantly Anglo-Scottish. But the Dutch have something similar, known as a kabouter. Red caps are said to lurk where wicked acts of tyranny were performed. And this is a description I got off Wikipedia here. It says, a short, thick-set old elf with long, prominent teeth, skinny fingers, armed with talons like eagles, large eyes of a fiery red color, grisly hair streaming down its shoulders, iron boots, pikestaff in his left hand, and a red cap on his head. And that was from folklore of northern countries of England and the borderlands.
This one seems a little odd, because what's the sort of mythological reason for it? I mean, I can't figure out what these red caps would be meant to explain, other than they're just monsters that somebody came up with.
Bad things befall people, misfortune.
Well, acts of tyranny, I guess.
That's the areas they're drawn to. So like maybe there was an area where there was a war, or a lot of times they said with these guys, red caps will be in ruins of castles. And because they are attracted to these places where supposedly bad guys ruled and did evil things.
Where wicked acts of tyranny were performed. So it could also be like a toll attendant or a parking attendant or a...
Oh, dude, I just got slapped with a parking. Oh, I'm so mad about it. 60 quid. 60 quid for this. I put in the wrong... Because I was driving my mother-in-law's car. Yeah. I put in the wrong license plate. I put in my license plate.
Uh-huh. Tyranny.
And I go, showed them, go, look, oh, no, no, I paid for it. Here, look, it's the thing. And they're like, no, it's your responsibility to put in the right number.
That's when the red caps show up.
I want to set that place on fire. And they're like, it infuriates me so much. Like, I made this little tiny mistake. It was like, I wasn't disregarding. Yeah. I wasn't being disrespectful. It was just
my man, this
mistake.
Is when you start writing your barbarian stories. This is the this is your moment.
Oh, golly.
Here's another one. They slay children. Tell me if I'm pronouncing Bian Fion fairies?
Banshon.
Banshon, okay. Mm-hmm. Fairies are also known as drowning fairies. They're said to pull children to their underwater doom. If you're searching for a Banshon fairy, you're advised to look around dark waters where drownings have occurred. Well, if you want to prevent them, why are you telling people to do that? These creatures were, I think that one of these fairies actually wrote this entry. These creatures were likely devised by parents looking to keep their kids from playing in the water.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make them any less creepy.
This is like, you know, the Water Woman myth, Jenny Greentooth. There's also the Greentooth Woman, which is an Ireland myth. There's similar myths in Germany. And of course, Jenny Greentooth, I think, is English, or is she Scandinavian? I don't remember.
Well, we talked about, I thought it was Jenny Green Teeth. Maybe there's more than one.
Well, you know how these things are. They change over time. People misspeak them or
you know. And then there's lazy Jenny Green Teeth. You know, you got a sort of like lazy rod. We covered that, though. There was a story we did early on that was about the drownings in the backyard.
Yeah.
Remember, mm-hmm. It was the red something, the red room. We talked a lot about Jenny Green Teeth back then.
Yeah.
Somebody tell me what that story was, because I really liked it. Here's another one that's close to my heart. Their screams mean doom. Mm. The Banshee, also known as Woman Fairy. Yeah, is there a Banshee in Marvel Comics?
Yes, but he's a dude.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Originated in Ireland and is said to be most active at night before a passing. In some folklore, she even comes to the door of those who are expected to pass. She looks like a full-sized human female, and though her appearance varies by region, her hair is always stringy, and she always wears a white gown or shroud. She frequently appears covered in moss as well. There's more of that, you know, rot, green teeth, covered in moss. Mm-hmm. The Banshee is recognized by her loud morning wails, which are said to be a harbinger of someone's demise.
Yeah.
And that freaked me out when I was a kid, because I saw the Banshee in Darby O'Gill and The Little People, which I know I've talked about before.
Yes. I think that scared a lot of people.
And we had a refrigerator that sounded like that to me that would come on at night.
Right.
And even though I knew it was the refrigerator, I was terrified. And obviously they wrote this myth to explain the sound of my refrigerator. Mm. That's the connection.
There you go. Banshees being part of the Keening, K-E-E-N-I-N-G.
What's that?
There was a woman, like the Banshee, that would sing when a family member died. Or was about to die. It would sometimes warn you. So like, almost like in Lovecraft with the whippoorwills.
Right, right.
Kind of thing.
Well, that seems to be a trend, because the next one is like that too. It says they get excited by death.
Yeah.
Ivirica gather outside the homes of dying people while happily chattering to each other. These 18-inch tall harbingers of doom are instantly recognizable thanks to their vivid red color and bloodstained teeth. Mm. According to folklore, they can be appeased, but it isn't easy. Ivirica require a shrine filled with daily burned offerings of flowers and spices to leave you alone.
They're from India. That's an Indian fairy, the Ivirica.
What's going on there? I mean, why were those invented or talked about, do you think? Why does it have so much to do with this? I guess people are afraid of death coming.
Yeah.
With this one, it almost feels like sending someone to boil water during labor or something, you know? Somebody's on their deathbed and nobody knows what to do. Go outside and build a shrine to the Ivirica. Just keep them busy.
Yeah.
So, you know, it feels like it might be something like that.
Well, part of it is that they are afraid that they're going to steal people's souls, which just reinforces the idea that when you die, it's not the end. You know, you're going to go mm-hmm. someplace else. If there are things that are going to try and take advantage of you in this vulnerable state when you're moving on to the next world, then there are things that the living can do to help and protect. Like it says that there are, like you said, they can leave out gifts to be appeased, or some kind of warnings, but these guys are there to take advantage of people. So maybe that's what it's about.
Well, you know, it's a little like we were discussing how much modern psychological stuff or things that we think of in modern psychological terms was happening, you know, in the Sandman and that story. Mm-hmm. I think with a lot of these myths too, they are manifestations of what we might now call anxiety or something like that.
Sure.
So a lot of these harbingers, you know, isn't it really just a way to say, I think something bad is going to happen when nothing bad is happening?
Mm-hmm.
I think I heard a banshee wailing, someone's going to die.
Yeah.
Because nobody's dying right now and I don't know what to do with myself because my brain is programmed to deal with suffering and tragedy. So when it's not happening, my brain makes up banshees and mm-hmm. little 18-inch monsters who are chittering and laughing.
Next one is they eat humans. Fairies aren't just menaces to humans, they can be a threat to their own kind too. Consider kelpies, a kind of human-eating fae, small, ugly, and bulbous. Kelpies are known for their foul tempers. They were once said to crop up everywhere in the Scottish lochs and in the North Sea, but fell into decline thanks to the appetite of other fairies. But kelpies don't discriminate when it comes to slaying. They love to eat deer that wander too near the lochs, and they're able to shapeshift to lure in human prey. There are even folktales about kelpies who take the appearance of seahorses, luring young maidens who they then submerge and devour.
Oh, wow, that's sort of a opposite mermaid myth.
Yeah, and there's a lot about them around Loch Ness. I see that there are lots of kelpie myths.
Well, this thing where they eat humans, not a surprise to me, but it says they eat each other as well. So there's some like fairy diablery going on. But that was when in an earlier one of these too about the fairy ate other fairies. And you said there's no fairy police force, but there's got to be some kind of enforcement going on. I mean, how are they stopping this from happening?
Maybe the kelpies are the police. They decide who gets eaten and who doesn't.
Oh, they're like Dexter fairies. Maybe they punish people by eating them. Here's another one. They have evil souls. According to Irish folklore, the slua are fairies thought to be the souls of evil people. These fairies travel in a swarm at night, often appearing like black birds. Their preferred prey are dying people who have yet to be given their last rites. Oh, that's kind of like the baptism thing. Mm-hmm. Plays into it. Some stories, however, say that you can call them by feeling deep sadness or simply by saying their name. Once the slua have you in their sights, the only way to be rid of them is to offer another person in your place. But they're easy to spot. In their humanoid form, the slua look like malnourished people with leathery wings. Well, I'm confused. So the last rites, I guess that doesn't necessarily have to be Christian.
But it's Catholic. Catholic have last rites. Most Protestants don't have last rites.
But how do you have Catholicism and then you also have fairies running around? You know what I'm saying?
Well, because they're left over. You know, like the Christians came in, converted people, but that's like why Christmas, we still have Christmas trees and Santa Claus and all that stuff, because that's leftover pagan stuff. And that's why holidays are on the days that they are, because there were already pagan holidays on those days.
Way to ruin Christmas dinner, Chris. Grandma's crying now.
Oh, I'm sorry, Grandma. Because this says that the slua are fairies thought to be the souls of evil people, which I would say is a ghost, but Lewis Spence, he says here, in the Western Isles of Scotland, the slua, or fairy host, was regarded as composed of the souls of the dead flying through the air. And the Feast of the Dead at Halloween was likewise the Festival of the Fairies. So this thing is not a ghost. It's made up of ghosts. Like it somehow...
It's like a Frankenstein ghost.
Yeah, or it sucks up the ghosts and makes itself... That's some crazy stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that we might have just hit max monster. I don't know if we can do this show anymore. It's a ghost Frankenstein monster made up of the souls of evil people?
Well, yeah.
And it's a fairy?
And it's a fairy. Whatever that means exactly, but I'm not sure. But that's Scottish Gaelic. Because I always thought it was Gaelic, and I got told by a Scottish person that, no, Scottish Gaelic. They say Gaelic.
I don't know if you can trust that, though.
Scottish people? No, you can't trust them.
I didn't mean Scottish people.
Oh, no. Well, you still can't trust them.
I just meant, you know, being a dumb American in the British Isles kind of seems like it'd make you a mark for all sorts of things like that.
Oh, boy. Well, man, it's just people talk different. You walk 10 minutes and everybody's got a different accent here. It's crazy.
Over here, we don't say, you know, bread. We say boomerangs. And then they send you into a shop and chuckle. Here's another one. They lure you in with bait. According to Filipino folklore, Berberoka are highly dangerous fairies that inhabit rivers and swamps. They are said to prey upon fishermen. Oh, this is really cool. I like this one. They are said to prey upon fishermen by ingesting large volumes of water, thereby bringing up fish. Once the fishers make their way to that specific spot, the Berberoka regurgitates the water to capsize their boats.
Mm.
Ultimately, the helpless fishers are dragged underwater and eaten.
Yeah.
You know what's really spooky about that is it almost seems like something that could evolve.
Oh, right, yeah.
Some kind of fish that would learn to do that if there were enough fishermen in a region. Oh, man.
What's interesting about the Berberoka is that they also call them water ogres, but they are really scared of crabs. That's their weakness. Now, the next one, their ugliness can end you.
Oh, boy.
A threatening but solitary creature, the Fachin fairy lives in the Highland Mountains. The Fachin's brooding nature is due to its appearance, as it only has one of everything. One ear, one arm, one leg, one toe, and one eye. All of these features are centered directly down the middle of its body, which is both hairy and feathery. These creatures are said to be so hideous that the mere sight of them can stop a person's heart. The falcon is sensitive about not having wings or the gift of flight, so it waves a spiked club at all living things that cross its path.
How do you know that that's why it's mad? There's nothing connected to waving a spiked club that says, I'm doing this because I'm mad because I can't fly. How do you know? Is he saying it? Does he have a sign as he waves the spike club?
I don't know. Maybe he has memoirs that people have read?
Oh, memoirs. That's the obvious solution. Yeah, that's what it is. The Fachin Diaries. Explains it all. Here's one. They take babies. Bendith, a clan of Welsh fairies, are notorious baby nappers. They nab human babies and replace them with their own deformed offspring, known as crimbills. Sometimes the Bendith will return the baby after teaching it about music, but more often than not, parents require the assistance of a witch to get their child back. When they aren't taking children, the Bendith get their kicks riding horses and tangling up their manes. That's weird. It's almost like a dating profile for fairies or something.
Oh, the Welsh.
But that's more typical of what you hear, the baby napping.
Yeah, the changeling
thing. Mm-hmm. Although this is odd that they bring the baby back after teaching it about music. And that made me wonder, what happens to the crimble? Does that go back with the fairy? Or does the crimble... I thought, how sad for this crimble creature, because as far as they know, they're the only kid.
You know, I wonder about the crimble. You're assuming that the crimble is an infant as well. But I think the Crimble is like a 42-year-old man that just looks like a baby. You know what I mean? He's lying there going, goo goo gaga. And then when they leave, he gets out some cigarettes and gets the booze and, you know, like Baby Huey. And
oh, so he's actually, but he's tricking, but people are falling for it.
Yeah. So when
he's a Danny DeVito type.
Exactly. When the real baby comes back, he's got stuff to do. He's tired of that gig. You know, he doesn't want to be pretend. It's really boring to pretend to be a baby because they don't do anything.
Of course.
They just lay there. So I wouldn't feel bad about it. Don't be worried about
that. You paint such a rosier picture because I was thinking more of a piece where you get a younger brother or sister. It's that kind of thing because the Crimble's the only child that the parents are raising. And then the real baby shows up and is an awesome musician. So suddenly they fall in love with this other baby. And he's like, what about Crimble? You know. But I like what you've got going on, which is much funnier. Boss baby situation.
Since also that they dance and they make fairy rings and they live underground or underwater, they bestow riches on those they favor, but these gifts vanish if they are spoken of. So you can't talk about the thing that they give you. And fairy maidens may become wives of human men. However, if they touch iron, they will vanish back to their realm and never see their human husbands again.
Whoa.
Yeah. So.
Well, that little bit about you get the gifts, but if you talk about them, you lose them. That might have a little bit of instructional value in it, maybe.
Oh, right.
Don't brag.
Yes.
For practical reason. You know, there's a bunch of robberies happening in Los Angeles right now where people who are going out and spending a lot of money at the fancier restaurants on Melrose, there's like a gang that's following these people home and then doing home invasions.
Oh, my God.
It's been happening every week.
Oh, geez.
And so, you know, I'm not blaming them for being victims of crime at all. I'm just saying that the ostentation is what's attracting the criminals. They know that these people are going to have stuff. So they look at their car and how much they spend at dinner, and they're following them from the place home.
Oh, God.
It's freaking me out.
That is really scary.
Yeah.
But that's the whole thing about not drawing too much attention to yourself for being too successful, because then people start to become jealous of you. And jealousy is something that you're supposed to be modest, because if people realize how much you have, you know, thieves might try and take it away from you.
Yeah.
But also people will like you because you've got more than them.
Right.
Yeah, I could see that this myth enforcing that behavior.
A little bit, maybe, yeah. Here's another one that is pretty famous. Mischievous will-o'-the-wisps haunt marshy ground and love playing practical jokes.
They do.
However, their jokes consist of leading travelers astray with their flickering lights, sometimes leading people straight to their doom in the bogs. It is believed...
Oh, that's a good one.
It is believed that steering clear of will-o'-the-wisp footpaths is the best way to avoid them, although they are known to sometimes help people who are kind to them and offer them money. Also a Marvel Comics character.
Yes. So I think Spider-Man villain. That's what I love it. They say it's practical jokes. It's like, what kind of joke is that to murder somebody?
Ha! It's a pretty good one.
That's not a joke.
When you say practical, you mean just you can see the results in a practical sense?
I guess so.
Yeah, that person's dead now. Here's one. The blue men of the Minch, or storm kelpies, prey on sailors. They sport green beards and hair and are pretty buff.
Mm-hmm.
Some say that these creatures live in caves underwater and that they can control the weather and the seas. Mm-hmm. If you ever plan on sailing the high seas, make sure you have what it takes to defeat the sea kelpies. According to folklore, captains have escaped disaster on the water simply with their sharp tongues. Mm. However, the blue men of the Minch can only be beaten in rhyming duels. It's like a Lin-Manuel Miranda project. The Blue Men of the Minch.
And those guys now, they're really successful.
Yeah.
The Blue Man Group.
Oh, it's the Blue Man Group. Yeah. That's the
These
that's
guys,
how it all
they
started.
They went to Vegas and they did the show and they hit the drums and they're really popular. So it worked out for them. This is another one. The fairies seduce, then punish you.
Yeah.
Hudafolk are Icelandic fairies that are somewhat neutral. Some people believe them to be beneficial, and they build tiny wooden homes for fairies to live in. The Hudafolk aren't typically malicious, but they do have a strict moral code. These human-like creatures are known to attempt to seduce people. Those who resist are rewarded, while anyone who surrenders is punished.
To me, it's so weird for them to say they're somewhat neutral. I don't understand the purpose of a neutral fairy.
Yeah. Well, they're not neutral. They're punishing people for being sexually active, basically.
Sort of, but do you see the way that's written? It says they're known to attempt to seduce people, and those who resist are rewarded. So yeah. I think the reason they're thought of as neutral is because these are somewhat lazy fairies. They just show up and they go, hey, you want to screw? And the person goes, no. And they're like, well, here's $5. I got the rest of the day off. That's what's going on.
$5.
They're like, I just got to build one tiny wooden home. I seduced kinda two people today. I'm done.
I'm confused. So what would they do if you did have sex with them? Would they take $5 from you?
Yeah, they take $5 from you.
And then make you build a little wooden house for a fairy?
Yep. Maybe the punishment is just in the having, like, it's sort of workmanlike, not very good sex. It's not even horrifying. It's just kind of there. The Calicant Zoroa's fairies are always without clothes. While that might make you uncomfortable, the creep factor comes in with their feet. They're usually shaped like those of different animals. Hmm. Calicant, so it looks like they're wearing like bunny slippers all the time, I guess.
Yeah.
Calicant Zoroa fairies tend to ride around on chickens and are blind, so they're typically found in groups. Why does that lead to them being found in groups? Sometimes they even recruit outcast fairies to be their guides. So they're just naked little creeps riding around on chickens. I can get behind that. I like those
guys.
That's
pretty cool.
There's no purpose for that. That's just fun.
And this is a Greek myth. There's also in Turkey, I think that this myth goes over there. One of the things about them, they're really small, but they have, most of these are men or male, and they have really big penises.
Really?
Yeah, they're small with giant penises, according to the myth.
Yeah, according to the myth they wrote. That's crossed out and written in the margins. By the way, something you should know. But, you know, reading that thing, it's so crazy. These blind, big-dicked fairies riding around on chickens. I'd like to read this myth to those guys from the Shining Pyramid story who are like, no child could conceptualize a Mongolian eye. What about these blind fairies riding around on chickens?
Yeah, well, here's a description of them. It says they're small black creatures, humanoid apart from their long black tails, they're said to resemble the black devils. They're black and hairy with burning eyes, goats and or donkey's ears, monkey's arms, and tongues that hang out of their head.
So, sounds like a Krampus-y kind of a little bit.
It does, like yeah.
Brownies are here. I know about brownies from, you know, Shakespeare.
Yeah, yeah.
They're typically guardian fairies who do chores and help around the house. While that may sound sweet and endearing, folklore says that they are hideous to look at. In some regions of Scotland, they have no separated toes or fingers. In other areas, they have a hole in their face where the nose should be.
Ooh.
You know, I don't know. You'd have to be pretty hideous for me to be upset if you were doing chores around the house.
Yeah.
I think I'd put up with it.
Honestly, I don't think there could be something too creepy if it was going to do chores around the house.
Exactly.
Like the most horrible thing I can think of, if it was not going to hurt me and it was actually going to clean my house, I would get over it real fast.
I would too, yeah.
Like, you know, if it looked like a creepy doll with, you know, white eyes and it was just tottering around, if I saw that, I'd be freaked out. But once it starts doing the dishes, I'm on board.
Forget about it. That is no longer a horror story. I pulled a couple we'll just end with from 10 Freaky Types of Scary Fairies. This is another listicle by Esther Inglis Arkell. It was at Gizmodo.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple on here I thought were interesting. Bannock, the bathhouse sprite. This guy hails from Russia and the Baltic countries. He hides in puffs of smoke and bathhouses, relaxing in the steam and watching people. Honestly, that would be creepy enough, but this guy compounds it by scratching people's backs. The good news is he doesn't expect people to scratch his. The bad news is if he claws at your back, you will meet with misfortune soon. Some would say you already have.
Uh-huh.
I would love to see the big budget horror version of Bannock the bathhouse sprite. You've been scratched. It's just dudes hanging out in a steam room.
Yeah, this is a Slavic myth. They also said they're able to predict the future. One can consult with these fairies by by standing with your back exposed in a half-open door of the bath. It's very specific. The bannock would gently stroke one's back if all bode well, but if trouble lay ahead, it would strike you with its claws.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's obviously a culture where bathhouses are happening all the time, and it's just, you know, something that they have to make up little mythologies for, but it seems very odd if you didn't grow up in that culture. The last one that I thought was cool from this list was Kururapur, the tortoise-loving torturer. When you're wandering through South America, as I'm sure many of you are, don't hurt a tortoise. There's a powerful fantasy spirit that exists solely to avenge the deaths of tortoises. Kururapur will first stalk you, letting you see his footprints. You will go in the opposite direction of the footprints. The problem is, he has his toes on backwards. The problem is he has his toes on backwards to lure tortoise killers to him.
Yeah.
Once they are in his sights, he will capture them, hobble them, and torture them to death. Mm. To be fair, though, I've heard that tortoise is delicious.
Well, that was the thing with the tortoise thing. They tried to bring them back from the Galapagos, and everybody kept eating them.
Because they're so good.
They're really good, I guess. I'm a vegetarian, so I wouldn't ever eat a turtle because I think they're cute. I think they're called the boy body. I think it's what it translates to.
Kururapur?
Yeah.
I think that just sounds like it's a monster. They wanted to say it's unspeakable, but people are like, well, you got to give it a name. So they thought, we'll give it an unspeakable name then.
Well,
Kururapur. That's sort of like in 30 Rock when they were making that movie, The Rural Juror.
The Rural Juror.
It's so hard to say.
It is. They also said that these things, like you said, look like a boy with backwards facing feet, but they had green teeth, another green teeth thing. Large pointy ears and hair made of living flames. And they can also assume the form of a frog or an old man or a very tall man or a paca.
Well, I mean, just keep listing things. Those, come on, that's just a lot of stuff.
It rides on the back of a wild boar and has a special fondness for white-lipped peccaries and brocket deer. More complex than you would think.
I think what I come down on in the end of this is that fairy and the fae, generally we're talking about some specific British myths.
Yeah.
But it seems like fairy is also kind of a catch-all for any spiritual monster.
An alien creature, you know, something that's origins aren't human.
There's a little bit of myth wrapped up in it, but then some also very odd specificities that just show imagination, I think.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I like these so much, because we've got all the traditional monsters that we cover and stuff, but then here's this category where they're just super crazy and they all have different needs and wants. And so I'm really glad that we started doing this month as well, because I'm going to read more into these things because I like it more than I thought I did.
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. Well, I want to thank all of you. You're our high-end subscribers. You're the people that are shelling out the big dough, and that helps me and Chad keep producing all this stuff. Hopefully you liked this episode where we just kind of talked about fairies.
We're going to come back next month and do The Nutcracker, the original E.T.A. Hoffman story. It'll take all month. We're excited about it. There's a rat with a bunch of heads in it, so that's weird enough for us. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about it at all.
We're going to find out.
So we're going to find out in December for the holidays. So hope you'll all join us for that. For now, I'm Chad Pfeiffer.
I'm Chris Lackey, and you've been listening to Strange Studies of Strange Stories.
It's bonus content here on Patreon.
HPPodcraft.com.